I recall a time in our church when we were ministering in New Haven, Missouri. One of our boys was left in a classroom to play after church while Amy and I were dealing with something at the church. And when we came back to get him, and I'm not going to say which son it is, but he's not here today. He deserved a mace. We came back to get him. He had drawn all over the walls. And as you can imagine, there was a recognition of his wrongdoing. He pointed out and asked why. Then there was a punishment given to him. Then there was a call for forgiveness as he had to approach the teacher and ask for forgiveness what he had done to her classroom. Then he had the work to try to get rid of all that work that he had done and erase it and clean it. It was hard to do, but it was a needed work. Someone had to do it. And the marks were never completely gone until those marks were covered with paint. As we finish the series, Idols, we're going to see many of those same steps were carried out in this idolatry of the Jews. We've seen a seriousness of idolatry as we started on the verse in 1 John 5:21. It says, little children, referring to you and I as children of God, the people of God, he says, keep yourself from idols. Keep away from anything that steals worship, praise, faith, or love from God. Keep away from those things that cause a disobedience or an ignoring of God's word. Keep away from those things that substitute for hope, confidence, and security in Christ. And we've really broken down the story of the golden calf. Don't know if you've ever heard a series of idolatry where this one story was broken down into 8 weeks. Hopefully it's challenged you. Hopefully it's been good for you, as it has been for me. But after the Israelites had witnessed the power and seriousness of God, and when he showed up, they saw the thunder, the fire, the winds, the noise, the clouds. And he called Moses up into the mountain because God had something special for him. But Moses took longer up there than the Israelites were willing to wait. So if you remember, the Israelites decided to make their own God. So they made a golden calf, giving this object that they had made, this cow, credit for all God had done. They worshiped this cow in all sorts of perverted ways. And as you can imagine, if you remember, this made God very angry that his people, who he's provided to, who he created, who he's called to himself, are giving his glory to another. But Moses prayed, asking God to save the people. He became the intercessor, as Christ is for you and I. However, Moses never accepted their sin. He showed them the depth of their sin by breaking God's law. Remember those tablets that the finger of God had written on? He broke them as they had broken the law. He made them drink the ashes of their sin. And we saw that those that didn't repent, he killed. But what should those who have repented do? It's a big question for you and I as well. What about those who have returned to obey God, are sorry and broken for their sinfulness, sorry for giving a worship to another, sorry for violating the holiness of God? What do they do? If you notice, this is a picture of each of us as we walk through the story, who have or are enjoying other idols, who place our faith somewhere other than God. We know what name we're supposed to drop, but other things give us pleasure instead of the things of God. I trust my bank account more than I trust that God will provide. Often we, other things rule our time rather than being obedient to God's timeline, what He's called us to do. We allow other things that do not honor God to be a part of our life and provide for our enjoyment. We looked at other things as means of protection and provision and held other things as a means of safety, forgetting who created us, who loves us, who calls us to Himself, who gave His life for us, and who has the best for us, because we can fall for idolatry as well. So now if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 32, we're going to finish up this story today. At least that's the plan. And we're going to see just after the people were offered grace. Remember, Moses said, if you're on God's side, come stand with me. Those that accepted the grace that were given returned and repented. And they stood next to Moses. And those who rejected the grace were killed by the sword. And last week, what we saw was, like Moses, God has called you and I into His grace. And those who reject the calling of God, who reject coming to Jesus Christ by faith, will be killed, cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Those who accept His grace, that come to salvation, what now? What now? Look at what Moses says here, and we're going to kind of break this down today. Starting in Exodus 32, going down to verse 29. It says, for Moses had said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken to thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. And Lord, I ask that you put your hand on each one of us, that our focus could be on your word. That we allow the Spirit to soften our heart, to convict and open our eyes to areas that we need to turn over to you. And Lord, we thank you that you're a loving God, that you forgive our sinfulness, that you call us to repentance. And Lord, that we can enjoy your blessings. We can enjoy your safety. We can enjoy a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Ask that you have your way and give me your words today. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we read through this text, we noticed that we're going to break it down into three parts today. Two are going to be kind of quick, and one's the main one. It'll be the last one. But first, we see Moses' plea to God. Then we see God's answer to Moses. Then we're going to see Moses' challenge to those who repent. And the first thing we see is Moses' plea to God. We have just seen Moses. He told the people he's going back up to talk with God. You notice that? And in verse 30, what did he say? I hope to make an atonement for your sin. Did you catch that? I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask for forgiveness of your sins. Atonement means a covering. That's a reconciliation. To place something over your sin to where it's no longer visible. I'm going to pray that your sins are taken away. See, Moses' desire is to protect the people who remain. Catch that? Moses' heart was to protect them. To make sure that they receive their needed forgiveness. And Moses is going to pray to God, desiring forgiveness for his people. But check this out. Moses is not going to tell God what to do. Moses knows the right thing to do. Do you ever want God to do the right thing towards you? We'd be dead and in hell by now. We thank God for his grace and mercy, don't we? It's awfully quiet out there. Are you thankful for his grace and mercy? That's why we come, we celebrate, we worship him. Because if he wasn't full of grace and mercy, you and I would be dead and in hell by now. Moses goes a step further. Oh God, if punishment is needed, just catch it in verse 32. It says, punish me. Pour out your wrath on me. He said, don't blot them out of your book, blot me out. Let me have their punishment. You ever prayed for that? God, punish me, not them. I know it's harsh. I know they deserve horrible punishment. Blot me out of your book. Now, we research what he means. It looks like he's referring to a book that the psalmist talks about, the living people. The living ones that are on earth, that when they die, they get blotted out, taken out of the book. It's not a matter of spiritual salvation, but about a physical death. And here he says, Lord, if someone's got to die for this, let it be me. Now remember this. This man was nowhere near the idol. He's the one that burned it up, smashed it, and made them drink it. He's not at fault at all, but he loves them so much, he says, Lord, have mercy on them. They don't know what they're doing. Does that sound familiar? In the words of Jesus from the cross. And Moses says, Lord, if it's got to go on anyone, go it on me. What a leader. What an intercessor in prayer. People didn't hear this prayer. He didn't understand this. This prayer was done up on a mountain when he was speaking with God. The people didn't need, he wasn't trying to impress them with fancy words. This was between him and God. This is true, sincere love and compassion for his people. He prayed to save them from what they deserved. He offered his all, a sacrifice of himself. And I hope we're making parallels to our ministry and evangelism. I hope we're making parallels to our ministry, who we're trying to reach. Oh, they're jerks. We don't want them in our church. Or, oh God, help me accept them. I really want to help them. I want to present truth to them. How serious are we about the souls of others? Moses here was so serious. He said, Lord, blot me out. Kill me. Kill me if need be. But then we see here God's answer to Moses. God's answer to Moses here in verse 33. Whoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Catch that? God's answer to Moses is nope. Sorry. Each man must answer for his own sins. Moses' life was not enough to pay for the sin of others. Did you catch that? God says, Moses, your life ain't enough to pay for their sins. But look what else continues. Look at verse 35. God had also told this, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. There's still repercussions for sin. You with me? Think about this. I asked for forgiveness and I walked away. Guess what? That sin still hurts you, doesn't it? How often do sins in our life come back and creep back and hurt us later in our lives? Stuff when I was a teenager, and I was a teenager a long time, not as long as some of y'all, but a long time ago. And there's some of that stuff that still hurts me today. You know? When they bowed to a false god, they slapped God in the face. And it continually hurts them. The peace and joy from God was lost. Anytime you walk in sin, it is lost. The Israelites are going to suffer through the existence of their nation for rejecting or disobeying the God that created them. God separated them as his own nation. After all the world was created, later God came back and said, I'm going to make a special nation for myself. That's when he approached Abraham and said, listen, I'm going to use you to do it. He made them for himself, and yet they rejected him. They rejected the God that has blessed them, protected them, pulled them out of slavery. They rejected the God that has a purpose for them. Understand, the Jews have a purpose all the way through the end of the world, don't they? If you were here for our studies through the book of Revelation, you saw Jew, 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 Jew. Because God's going to use them in the end time like they were supposed to be obedient in the beginning of time. He's going to give them another chance. He uses them because there is a separate nation for himself. But their sin is going to cause them hurt and pain. Don't think you can live in sin no matter how hidden it is from the church. Here's the cool thing. You can play in your sin. The church ain't the one that's going to judge you, right? Your pastor isn't the one that's going to know about your secret heart sins, but there's going to be a day we stand before the throne of God, isn't there? Your sin will hurt you right now. God knows your heart right now. And often it's unconfessed sin in our lives, areas that we allowed ourselves to creep into, and we see here plagues will come upon them because they followed a false God. And as Moses was willing to sacrifice his life, he said, Lord, give me their deserved punishment. The problem is he too was a sinner. And no sinner can pay for the sin of another. Only for your own sin. But what God is telling Moses there, he's saying, listen, in 1,500 years, there's going to be one that will be born. He's going to live a holy life. As God has promised throughout the Old Testament, I'm going to send a Savior. I've got a plan to redeem you. And 1,500 years after this story with Moses, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, tells us who that is. We find out his name. His name is Jesus. And he says, for he shall save his people from their sins. You with me? Moses could not save his people because he had sinned. But Jesus Christ can save his people because he has never sinned. His blood is holy. His blood is powerful. In Hebrews 7:26 describes Jesus like this, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus was sinless and holy to the point that John the Baptist knew who he was. In John 1:29, where he shouts out, whoa, there's the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Isn't this awesome? Moses couldn't do it, but who could? Don't be shy about the name of Jesus. It's too powerful to treat like a firecracker. It's dynamite. Moses couldn't do it, and you can't do it, but who can? There we go. But why would he carry our sins upon himself? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that Holy One carried our sins, our nastiness upon himself. Because of 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took up on our sin upon himself and carried it to the cross so that you and I could take on his holiness and carry it to the throne of God. Amen? You see, Moses couldn't do it, but Jesus can. He takes our sins, accepts the punishment, and places his holiness on us. All to those that answer to the calling of grace. When God says, come unto me, you answer that call. What Moses wanted to accomplish is only done through Jesus Christ. All one must do is place faith in him. Answer the invitation. But here in Exodus, those who answered the call of grace, that walked away from their idols, walked away from their sins, were instructed by Moses. And here's what I want us to catch today, is this instruction to those that have answered the call of grace. When Moses said, listen, come unto me if you're on God's side. And those that repented came to him. That was a call of grace, just like Jesus says to you. Listen, you want to be with God, you come unto me. And we answer that call of grace. What do we do now? Well, a lot like what Moses told his people to do. Look at verse 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon him a blessing this day. The instruction is, consecrate yourself. Consecrate means to fill your hands. What does that mean? Take on the things of God. And he says, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Take upon yourself the work of God. To be consecrated was to be set apart for a special task. And Moses calls him and says, consecrate yourself to the Lord. Separate yourself. Open your hands for the things of God. This consecration was a separation from sin. And in chapter 19, when they were to make a special covenant with God, it was a special day. Isn't it? In chapter 19, when God speaks to them to call them as his own people, they had a special cleansing, a special way to wash themselves, a special washing of the clothes. They didn't even have relationship with their spouses during this time because everything was set aside for this meeting with God. That's how important it was. And here is the same idea as Moses says, consecrate yourself. Recognize who you serve. Be separated from those things that do not honor God. Can we take that personal? Should we be separated from those things that don't honor God? Oh, but I'm not at church when I do this. I don't speak that way at church. I don't do those things at church. God hasn't called you unto the church. He's called you into the church. But he's called you unto himself to be one with him. That wherever you are, you're an ambassador of Christ. You're a child of God. It's not a matter of what you do in this building or with these people. It's what you do before him. The reason we come together as a church, as God instructs us, is so that we can better live for him outside of here. So we can shine brighter. We can gain strength. And so Moses tells him, consecrate yourself. Recognize who you are. Be separated from your old sinful ways. Because your life is now about the work of God. Their hands were to be full with God's things to get rid of those sins and any signs of those sins. They didn't save a chunk of that cow and put it on a necklace just to remind themselves, well, there was a time that I bowed to a cow. No, he said, get rid of that nasty filth. That stuff is garbage. You shouldn't have it. God says he will share his glory with no other. He said, get rid of it. When you and I recognize our sinfulness, we are called to depart it. Throughout the New Testament, when Jesus would heal or take care of people, he gave them a command. In John 5, he told the lame man that he had healed, go and sin no more. He said, now you know the truth. You have met me. Don't walk in sin. Don't walk in darkness anymore. That makes sense? Can we apply that to our life as God has called us to ourselves and he blesses our lives? God has called us to be holy, for I am holy. Let go of those old ways, those sinful ways, those immoral ways. When Jesus saved the sexually immoral woman, remember he rode on the ground in the dirt and the people trying to stone her walked away. Remember that story? And she is so grateful. What did he say to her? Go. Sin no more. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, well, as long as you go to church on Sunday. He didn't say, as long as you wear a little crucifix, or if you memorize 200 verses. As long as you go to some guy standing in a black box so that you can confess your sins to him. What does he call us to? Go and sin no more. He says, let go of your sinfulness. Let go of the worldliness. Let go of unrighteousness, right? You're giving up your idols. You're giving up those things that you're in love with to follow the one who is worthy of love. Be ye holy, for I am holy. He calls you away from darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Jesus tells us salvation is unto holiness. That very verse in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. If you're a child of God, he has chosen you for himself. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does it look like if you claim to know Christ, but you want to keep playing in darkness? It means you don't appreciate the light he has called you to. That the darkness is more fun, more powerful, more promising. God says when you come to the light, show your praises for the light because he has called you out of darkness. Now, is it an instant change? No, it's a growth in our relationship with him and our walk with him. But the more I learn of him and I walk with him, the less I want to hold on to that darkness. Anybody out there? Jesus calls you away from the holy things into his holy family. We as a New Testament believers, followers of Jesus Christ, are told this in 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he continues, listen to this, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and you will be, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Saying you don't just add Jesus to your accomplishments, you submit to his holiness, you submit to his righteousness, you come out and you be separate from the ungodly. He says, come out from among them and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing. Oh, Satan's good. You get saved. And he starts changing your life. God starts changing your life. And what does he get you to do? Start looking back. Maybe one more time will hurt. Right? Am I the only one? And, nobody's going to know. They're going to know. And Jesus says what? Touch not the unclean thing. Don't go back to it. I believe it's the book of Jeremiah. It says Israel's like a dog that goes back to his vomit. Don't go play with the garbage. It says you've been called out. You've been called to be separated. You don't just add Jesus to your accomplishments. You submit to him. You come out and you're separate from ungodliness. Because at salvation, he becomes your father. See, God calls you by grace to a salvation. God calls you by his grace to salvation. And by his grace, he continues to purify our lives and to cleanse them, to make us holy because he is holy, because he wants to use us for his holy work. In other words, those Israelites would have placed those idols behind them. Not have any more part with them. Not have a selfie with the golden cow. You can imagine Jews lined up, well, my turn. I think I share with you how annoying those things are today. We've become such a self-centered country, nation, world. And we want to be in everything, pictures of everything in ourselves. Sometimes we become the God and we worship ourselves. It's all about me. Driving a school bus in the middle of the night, On the way back after a sport, you know what I see in my mirror? Flash, 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 flash. And they're always pointed at themselves. You think I'm kidding? Half time, I'm like, quit flashing forward. The mirror is not friendly to a driver. Okay. But you see here, you can imagine the Jews. Well, I just want my one last picture with this golden calf. I want to tell my kids about this. It was kind of cool. I mean, it did cost me my jewelry. I did sacrifice for it. It's not a matter of bragging of their old accomplishments. Back when I was your age, those are so dangerous. Because often those challenge our kids to outdo what we've done. How about, you know, I messed up and I'm paying for it. I hurt the blessings of God in my life. See, instead the Jews, instead of remembering and worshiping and excited about this idol, they were to cleanse themselves of the sin. Same with you and I. We're not to hold on to our old ways and memories. Talk to believers that bragged about their moral actions before salvation. And I share with even Deion Sanders on TV in the middle of an interview talking about his salvation and coming to Christ. Then he started bragging and laughing about how many women he had bedded by that time. To repent means to lament as well. It means to be broken and sorry about our sins. Why? Because what does sin cost? The cross. The blood of Christ. We should not brag and hold on to those old ways. It simply allows temptation back in our lives as we start looking back at sinful behavior. It brings honor to that old sin, bringing attention to it. It brings attention back to the idol that was in our lives. And sometimes we need a time of cleansing. You ever had a time of cleansing? Get rid of pictures. Get rid of things in our lives that don't edify. I had a group of teens. We went over this. What does it mean? And it was neat. A bunch of them took it serious. They wanted to clean their social media of pictures of parties and drinking from before they were saved. Why? Because our attention should not be for the sinful behavior. So the challenge, we went to social media and deleted all those pictures that really did not bring honor to God. Comments, shares. And if you're not on social media, bless your heart. Right, Miss Linda? She's like, what social media? And if you say, what social media? You're awesome. You're awesome. Yeah. Cleanse those things that don't bring God honor. Maybe it's time to cleanse our homes of ungodly TV viewing. Do we take serious when he says, don't touch the unclean thing? Stuff going on that we watch in the home that don't bring God honor, don't edify and build our walk with Christ. Maybe there's other things that remind us or tell others of the idol that we were attached to and that we enjoyed. Will we be separate? Will we get rid of that? Why? Because as children of God, we need to represent Him. And here's the point. When you're in Christ, your joy should not come from the world anymore. Why make a false idol? Why play with fake gods when you have the one true, awesome, eternal God that we get to worship? Why do we want to allow false idols in our life when we have a God that put on flesh, dwelt amongst us, went to the cross carrying our sins, died and resurrected again that we can have a relationship with? I'll tell you why we keep going back to our old ways. Because we got the flesh attached to us still. And if we don't feed the spirit more than we feed the flesh will win. How much time do we spend in prayer and in God's word on a regular basis? Because our flesh is getting fed every day, not just on Sundays. We should take joy in being in a walk with Christ. We take joy that we now walk in the light, in His wonderful, in His marvelous light. Isn't that a privilege? Let me ask you again, isn't that a privilege? Because in darkness, you might not know where you're going. But when you're in God's marvelous light, you know your eternity. You know what He's made for you, what He's prepared for you, what He's called you to, what His promises are. Let us worship Him and not our idols. Would you stand with me? We're going to have a short time of invitation. The question is, how serious do we take this? How serious do we take this cleansing? This desire to, God, rid of my life areas that don't honor You. Maybe I fight pride in my life. Well, I pour my pride out at the altar and humble myself as You call me to. Maybe it's an addiction of some sort. Something that controls my mind. Something that has such a strong draw that I have to have it. It controls my attitude if I don't get it. The funny commercials about you need a Snickers bar. It's true with different areas in each one of our lives, isn't it? What will I drop at the altar? Maybe it's our own families. To where instead of raising them up and strengthening them to walk with Christ, they control mine. And I place them higher than my walk with Christ. That's between you and God. But I challenge you to humble yourself before God so that He can bless those areas in your life and strengthen your walk with Him rather than sometimes forcibly take away the thing that you won't give up. And when it's time of invitation, I challenge you, will you answer? Will you humble yourself before Him? Father, we come to You. We thank You for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I ask for Your hand on each one of us. For the strength and the wisdom, see the areas in our lives that do not honor You, don't benefit You, don't grow us closer to You. And Lord, give us the desire to walk with You closer than when we came in. That we turn over to You areas that do not honor, don't reflect Your character. That our desire would be to enjoy our walk with You, enjoy the light You've placed us in, and to point people to You. Lord, I ask that You have Your way in this time of invitation. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays. We step out of your comfort zone. Come forward. Maybe you need to pray for your walk with Christ. For strength to release some area in your life. His Son to pay for your sins, to pardon you, to take your sins from you upon Himself. And all He tells you is to place faith in Him, call upon Jesus for salvation. If you've never done that, I'd like to show you in God's Word very simply how you can be saved. But you must answer His call to grace. It will not happen on its own. You must submit yourself to the hand of God. And He tells us this is the day of salvation. Will you answer? Life to control you that are more important than obedience to God.